Blog Talk Radio.
All right, and welcome everyone to another edition of RF Sports Radio. I'm your host, RF Sports himself, Mr. Rodney Fisher. I'll be joined by Royce Fisher here shortly whenever we're able to get him on the line. But I want to welcome you guys back to a brand new show. We got so much to cover, so much to talk about. We're going to get into the NBA Finals. We're going to talk about the Dallas Mavericks. People have been asking me about my opinions about that. Going to get into a little bit of the Damian Lillard talk, and also into the Giannis talk as well. Talk about him also. So to make sure you guys tune into the show, you can always catch us on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can catch us. And of course, you can catch us on our YouTube channel by going to YouTube and looking up RF Sports Radio there. Again, if you guys want to be call in, you guys are welcome to. We haven't had any guests in a long time, but hey, you want to call us, give us a call, 319-527-6059 to call in, speak to RF Sports Radio. Let's see if we got Royce on the line now. Royce, are you there?
Yes, Ronnie, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I'm glad we got you connected now.
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good, Just kind of introing things, and first topic we want to talk about, of course, is going to be the NBA Finals that are going on right now. We see we've made it to Game 6 after the Phoenix Suns went up 2-0, and now we see they lost 3 straight to the Milwaukee Bucks in what I think was probably a classic signature moment for the Bucks in Game 5 with the alley-oop dunk. But Giannis kind of gave him his Finals play. The finals highlight of the finals could be. But just your overall thoughts on now that we're at this 3-2 with the Bucks up going into Game 6 tomorrow.
Well, actually, it started the game before with the block shot and the 2 turnovers, and that really knocked Phoenix out. But I'm going to put this all on the coach, Monty. He's got to call timeout when you're getting – when the team is making a run, you got to call timeout. You got to slow the momentum down. And he got to get more guys involved. You got to get Crowder. You got to get Bridges. You got to get Johnson. You got to get Payne. You got to get those guys going. So they're good in the first 3 quarters, but in the 4th quarter, you don't hear their name called. And I think that's a mistake. And also, you got Booker trying to play James Harden ball. He's not passing. He's shooting every time. I know he's hitting 40 points a game. But
yeah, 40
to
points.
Win a championship, you got to have – it's a team effort. I can't think of any championship other than Michael Jordan where one guy actually won it. But it's actually a team sport. You know, you look at Miami. Mm-hmm. They had Ray Allen. They had Dwayne Wade. They had, Chris Bosh. It's more than one guy to win a championship. More than 2 guys, really, to win a championship. So I'm going to put this all on Monty. He got to do a better job of coaching.
That's interesting.
Your thoughts?
That's interesting you say that, because if you think about it and go back to, the games that Phoenix won when they went up 2-0.
And even
winning the Western Conference Finals against the Clippers, it was a lot of team ball. It was a lot of, guys stepping up.
Right.
The Cam Johnsons. You mentioned Bridges as well, too, not getting a lot of shots. And he was hot in Game 5. You know,
he was
only
hot.
Missed, what,
he
one three-pointer?
The
whole game,
one
he was hot.
One
so.
Right, right.
But
and Jay Crowder had, 12 points?
Yeah, he had 12 as well. But, again, you may need 20 from Jay Crowder in a Game 5.
Right. Right, right.
We need him just to be a little bit more aggressive than just be a defensive player all the time, but because he can make threes. But the other thing that me and you discussed kind of before the show, as we watched the game, was they really didn't, like you said, they played the ISO ball with Booker so much that they didn't get everybody else involved. You think that
the guy that was just turning around?
You said that was a coach's call, but you got a coach out there too in CP3. Shouldn't he be the one to kind of facilitate this? Because he played a lot in that 4th quarter in Game 5.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Chris Paul. It's a different Chris Paul from Game 3 and Game 2. You know, he wasn't there the first 2 games, and like you said, they spread the ball around. But I don't know if it's getting in his head where he got to take over and all the talk about him being, you know, this great point guard and his last chance. You know, he seems like he's playing desperate to me. Committing too many turnovers, trying to do too much.
What I would have to
just
say,
be
add
a leader.
To that too.
I'm sorry.
I can add to that, though, by just saying that not only is he not doing that, but let's be honest. You know, they have nobody on that team that can play against Giannis head up. And I think Giannis finally realized that. You know, he's finally kind of being more assertive, going to the basket. He's still taking some threes that I don't like, but he's being more assertive going to the basket. He missed those free throws in game five, but made up for it with the alley-oop dunk. Like I said, that signature kind of finals highlight, if you will. But they don't have anyone that can match up to him, and that's what's going to make it even difficult to win in game six. You brought up the timeout. You said they should have took a timeout late in that fourth quarter, right?
Yes, when he missed the free throw and they got the rebound, I think it was 23 seconds, 29 seconds left. Instead of calling timeout,
Booker
to call
came
a play.
Down and,
right.
Booker came down and made
ball.
The turnover. Yeah.
Right, right. Could have called timeout then. It's perfect time to call a play. You know, you put your shooters out there, Payne, Cam Johnson, Crowder, you know, and run a play for it. If not for Booker, let, you know, kick it out for a three. You win the game. So
do you think
it's over
until game six, is it?
I don't think so. I think everybody wants to see game seven. Phoenix is going to play different if they make the adjustment. Giannis is going to get his. You know, nobody in the league can stop Giannis. That's a given.
Yeah.
But when you have Middleton playing the way he's playing, you know, and Lopez, you know, playing the way he just stands out there at the time to hit a shot. And Aiken's got to show up.
Yeah.
He got to play better. He's been quiet in the fourth quarter, man. He's getting outplayed in that middle position. He's just getting outplayed. But you can't stop Giannis. You got to keep the other guys from.
Yeah,
and
guys
I'm looking
up.
At the box.
I mean, go ahead.
I'm looking at the box scores. Milwaukee had 21 fast break points. Phoenix had 12. Milwaukee had 23 bench points. They only got 15 from Phoenix bench. They got to do better. But it's been a great series. I'm not complaining. And you
well,
have
game
to have
five was the best
sense.
Game of the series.
Game five was the best game of the series. Absolutely. But, you know, I got a little sympathy for Giannis. They've been knocking on the door. You know, you got to learn to win a championship. You don't just... You know, you got to lose to learn how to win. So, I do have a little sympathy for Giannis. You know,
well, let me ask you this: what does now? Let's say I think they're going to win Game Six and put it out of their misery. But you said they may go to Game Seven. I think that team is broken after what happened in Phoenix. They were expecting to win that game. You could tell they felt like. They should win that game. They came out there strong. They lost it. I think it's over.
Right.
I think the Bucks closed it out at home. But you brought up Giannis, and I want to talk a little bit about what does this mean for him if he's able to close him out in Game 6. We know he'll probably be the Finals MVP. He's already been a two-time MVP of the league. Does this begin his dynasty, his legacy? Does this start now?
Absolutely.
He's coming up. You know, two back-to-back MVPs, and the next year he wins a title. That's a pretty good three-year run.
Absolutely, being an MVP back-to-back defensive player of the year. Okay, we're going to look at Russell Westbrook. Look how many titles he won, scoring title, most double-doubles, most triple-doubles, and still no title. You know,
right.
So that does make a difference. We win a championship, that's the ultimate. And they got a chance to repeat, man, if they, you know, next year, who's to compete against them in the East besides Brooklyn?
Well, Brooklyn's going to be better, we know. Atlanta's going to be right there. They're going to be tough, but again, they have a matchup problem. Giannis is the problem.
Right.
You know, the only other team that can match up with them in the East is, you know, Brooklyn. Honestly. Yeah, so But yeah, it could start something big. It could start something big for Giannis, you know. And like you said, you know how the sports works. We've watched it for a long time.
Right.
You got to kind of knock on the door before they let you in. And
the
Bucks team has been knocking on the door a lot. The Suns are just now knocking for the first time. It
and
shouldn't
they
feel
got
bad if they
time.
Lose.
Right, but they got time to come back and win another. They got a great nucleus of a team. So does Atlanta, you know. So they have a chance to go, but I think it's just Giannis' time. It's his time to get one. You know, I think he wants to get one because his brother has one.
Yeah, but Chris Paul's not going to be there next year. I don't think he's there next year. My bet is that he'll be a Laker next year, but again, what do I know? But I don't think he's going to be a Phoenix Sun next year. I just don't think so.
You don't think he'll take?
I think he's going to keep chasing that ring. He's gotten so close this year, you know, with the move to Phoenix, that I think he's going to keep moving until he gets that ring. I think he goes to L.A. to play with the Lakers next year. That's just my thought. But I could be wrong.
Well, you could be wrong, but I think I would take another run in Phoenix. You know, they won 51 games. That's a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they do have a great team. They got there some kind of way. I know there's a lot of injuries involved, and Lakers and Clippers, but, you know, you got to admit they played their best basketball in the playoffs. They were a great team to watch, great team to play. They beat just about everybody. So, I mean, you know, you can't take it away from them. And, well, why would you want to go to L.A. with all those old guys banged up, the spotlight.
The old guys.
You know, and if you come up short playing with LeBron and A.D., that's really a stain on your record.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I want to remind you guys, you know, it's been a while since we've been on, but we're back. We're back 2 times a week. Whenever you're on, make sure you give us a call, join the show. 319-527-6059 to join. You know, we talked about maybe Chris Paul to L.A. I want to shift gears a little bit because, you know, we talk a lot of basketball, and, you know, if your team's not in the finals, you're kind of thinking about what your team's going to do next. And
right.
So I want to talk to you about this news of Damian Lillard finally saying that he wants to get out of Portland. This is a guy that, if we remember, a few years ago, he was saying how he didn't want to join the super team, wanted to build his own team there in Portland, and wanted to defeat LeBron, not join LeBron. And now he's had a little bit of a change of heart. He wants to get out of Portland, join a team. This, to me, is kind of like, I know people aren't talking about it a lot because of the finals, but this feels like, you know, KD leaving Oklahoma City. I mean, it feels like it's going to be a big shift in the NBA landscape by him leaving Portland and going somewhere else.
Well, can you really blame him? You know, 9 years, they've been knocked out of the playoffs in the first round every year?
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, they made it to the Western Conference Finals.
Right.
Last year? No. Yeah, was it last year or year before last? They made the Western Conference Finals year before last, yeah.
And they came up short. And it's been 9 years. You know, you spend 9 years, you get a little frustrated. You see guys getting rings, you know, like JaVale McGee, you know, and other guys.
That's
Dwight Howard.
That's always a go-to,
you know,
man.
Dwight.
He's never going to come on the show again. He's never coming on the show again.
Dwight
about.
Howard. I mean, just think about it. You see all these guys getting rings. You know, you got to feel something, Rodney. And you know, Damon is one of the top players in the league, you know. And scoring points and, you know, doing that and knocking down threes is fine and good. But the ultimate goal is to win a ring. I don't blame him for leaving to go somewhere. You know, he's getting old. He's not getting any younger. You know, so I don't blame him. And you see LeBron going year after year, and you feel like you're just a better player than some of these other guys, you know. And you better get it before the Golden State revamp, because when they get that going, it's going to be a whole different ball game. The West is only getting stronger. You know, you got Dallas, you got Phoenix, you got Denver. You know, you got a lot of teams. You got the Clippers. The West is tough, man. So, Now it's your chance, your wonderful opportunity to get a championship.
This was the right time for a team like Phoenix to take advantage of the Western. Like, you got on me about this, but I said everybody was hurt in the West, and it's true. Kawhi got hurt. LeBron got hurt. Anthony Davis got hurt. Jamal Murray got hurt.
In every finals, a playoff, a run, in the end of the season, this is not the first time. You know, Kawhi Leonard got hurt. You know, when he played Golden State, I could go back to San Antonio Spurs. I could go back to even further back there to the Lakers. It's always somebody hurt, so that's nothing new. But that's
yeah,
when
but
other guys
this,
have
though.
To step
not
up.
Not like this.
Well, not like this.
I haven't seen anything like this.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything like this. But then, you know, you're always going to have somebody hurt or somebody limping. It's like the end of the season in football. Guys are banged up, you know.
Let's be honest. In terms of, and again, I'm not trying to kind of downplay the environment. I'm not trying to downplay the protocols that guys have to go through and starting the season up real quick. I'm not downplaying that. Let's be real. This was a pretty easy road to the finals for both teams. I mean, let's be honest. The Phoenix had a pretty easy road, and I would argue that the Bucks had a pretty easy road playing a depleted, you know, Brooklyn Nets team, and we know Philly. You can't really believe in them or their coach Doc Rivers. I knew they weren't gonna do anything. And in Atlanta, an undersized team getting there for the first time. So they had a pretty – both teams, to me, had a very easy path to the finals.
I'm going to have to take you up on that statement because in the bubble last year, I think was the easiest year I've ever seen other than
the suspended season.
That was gym ball all over the place. That's like going to the rec playing ball. No crowd,
yeah, but
no people.
During the height
no
of the pandemic in a bubble, no
guys,
family, no
separate
from your family.
Most guys did not want to be there. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
I say 75% of the players did not want to be there. You know, it's like you had to go to work. So, you know, your heart's really not in it. It's a pandemic going on. You don't know whether you're going to test positive that day. Guys had to miss. You know, guys got stuck in the airports, guys left protocol. I think that was easier than this year. At least you had almost a full season of basketball.
I would disagree. Starting the season early, guys getting hurt, guys not playing. To me, this was probably one of the easiest.
They had a long layoff, Rodney,
in the playoffs.
To start the bubble. They had a long layoff. They suspended the season. Remember that in December,
right?
Right. They had a long layoff, which they normally don't have. So guys had time to rest. Guys had time to heal, and then the season started, which was short. Played in the bubble. You were not running around. You didn't have to fly to different locations. You stayed in the same place. It was much easier last year than it is this year. Guys were flying back and forth cross country. They had back-to-back games. They had one time in between games. So I think the bubble, you didn't have to travel. You got big, good.
Well, would you say the playoffs were easy? The teams that they had to play, the competition level was a lot easier than
any
other
season?
Yes,
guys did not want to be there. They wanted to be
home with their family. I'm talking about this year. I'm talking about this year when everybody hurt.
Well, this year was great. Cause look what came out of this year. Morant, Trae Young, Luka Doncic. We saw a whole generation grow up this year. Payne, you got all kind of guys. Collins in Atlanta. You saw a lot of guys grow up this year. I think this year was really exciting. I mean, because it was like the passing of the guard, you know, passing the torch. The Bucks in the playoffs, they've been there since 71. Phoenix has been there since who God knows how long, since Charles Barkley played. I was a child. So I think it was more exciting this year than it was last year in the bubble. I think it was easy. But we saw the changing of the captain of the guards this year, where these young guys start to perform, and the league is in great hands going forward because you got stars all over the place.
Yeah. Well, I can say I do agree with that. It was good seeing the young guys step up and seeing some emerging stars that you named. I still say it was a pretty easy road, and we're going to see, you know, like I said, I think they'll win it out in six. I think this will be over tomorrow night. I think we'll be talking about, you know, championships and for how many championships the Bucks may actually win if this is the start of a dynasty. That'll be a topic of conversation on the next show, I think.
Well, one thing about
I can't
this year's
see it
playoff,
going seven.
Nobody got swept. Nobody.
Yeah.
That's one thing about this year's playoff. Nobody got swept.
True.
Right?
That's true.
So, you know, it was a great game. I know you watched all of them like I did. And I'm going to disagree with you on that. I'm going to say this year was harder than last year. I know you don't feel that way because your Lakers won, but I think the Lakers had the easiest road to a championship I've seen in my
Other than the short season, San Antonio won,
it should be an asterisk by that championship.
No, let's not go there. Let's not turn this into one of those episodes.
Okay, I'm pretty sure I could get a couple of callers to agree with me because the asterisk should have been on this last year's championship. But it's been a good series. Whoever wins tomorrow night, and I think Milwaukee wins. But if either team had won, I've been happy. I've been satisfied.
Yeah. Well, if you agree or disagree, make sure you give us a call, 319-527-6059. We're going to jump into the big topic tonight. A lot of people are probably wondering what we think about our home team and some of the changes that have gone on, because the last time we were doing the show, Royce, things were a lot different here in Dallas than they are right now. I don't know where to even start. You know, I think we should start with the first real move that happened. That was Donnie Nelson leaving. And I want to combine that with Rick leaving, because Rick quit. Donnie kind of quit.
Absolutely.
Or was fired, and then Rick really quit the Mavs.
Yeah, he did go to Indiana.
So let me just start there first. We've been around Donnie a lot, been around Mark a lot, of course, been around Rick a lot. So I want to give you the floor first to kind of give your thoughts on Rick quitting.
Okay, let's start with Donnie first. You know, Donnie's been around a long time. He inherited the job from his dad. I think they both made some great picks as far as being a general manager. They got Luka and Dirk, two of the best European players. But they couldn't pull any big time players. Every time they tried
stop right there. We gotta quit saying this about Donnie. We gotta stop it. Now the years he's been here, and you can only name two players that he drafted and stayed Mavs. And that was Dirk, that's one, and Luka,
right,
who it's fairly new. We got to quit giving Donnie credit for just doing, only finding two guys. And
okay,
he did a horrible
let's
job
go back and
there.
Look. Okay, he brought in Lamar Odom, which was a bust. He brought in Delonte West, which was a bust. He brought in Rondo, which was a bust. Those three, that's just three bad choices I can name. And they never did get anybody to play with Dirk.
That's what I'm saying. You can name a lot of bad choices. I'm bad draft picks.
Okay. That's right. Chandler Parsons. Yeah, I can keep naming them.
He was terrible. He was terrible.
Oh, right.
You can't keep saying he was all right because he got Dirk. You know what I'm saying? But, look at the general manager
you have now. Donnie Nelson was the last of that breed. You got all these young guys in there now. Toronto has young. Even Phoenix got, what's the name?
James Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Philadelphia. And it was time for Donnie to go. I think so. You know, it's a lot younger now. You got LeBron James guys, you know, bring his, you know, general manager, going to be general manager's next. He's just getting younger. It was time for Donnie to go. I think it was just his time to run out. I think he did a good job. If I had to give him a grade, I'd give him an A for Dirk and an A for Luka and a B for everything else. So I want your stuff.
Well, I would give him a C because everything else was so bad that he did. The draft picks, the trade, everything was bad. He traded Steve Nash. Everything he did was bad, man.
He found
Luka. That's what I'm saying. Other than that, you know, he was trash, I think. But
right.
Moving on to Rick, a guy that we spend a lot of time with. I'm going to say this about Rick, man. You know, I don't know if I'm feeling the right way, but I'm kind of like pissed at Rick. I'm kind of torn because number one, I thought he should have been fired a long time ago. I haven't seen him for at least the last
3 years.
We need to let Rick go. I mean, before we got Luka, I was saying
right.
Time to let Rick go. He just was, I could tell that. But then the players really didn't like him like that, and he had stopped
right.
coaching. I don't know how many times me and you have watched games or had a conversation after a game and realized that he did not coach. Like, he just literally would not coach in the fourth
right.
quarter. He wouldn't run a play. He wouldn't call a timeout. He wouldn't make a substitution. He wouldn't do anything in the fourth quarter of a game. This was going on for years. He just quit coaching.
Yeah,
right.
He
went
playing
the young
guys. They lost too many close
games. They
could have won.
Yeah. He lost too many young guys. I felt that way. So I'm glad he's gone. But at the same time, I'm just kind of like, I can't believe you quit. I can't believe after all of that we did, holding on to you, knowing, you know, giving these, you know, all this autonomy to do it your way, that you just up and quit. To take a job in Indiana.
I will give Rick credit for is getting the best out of the players he had, even though he had a lot to work with. At the same time, I'm gonna fault him for not playing the players he did have. He did all the new guys, the rookies he never played. They rode the bench. Some of the substitutions he made, he went with Kleber a lot. A little bit too much. He can't defend me, you know, playing. And Josh Richardson was a great starter, and he just pulled in front of the lineup. I don't understand that. Some of the decisions he made, but it was time. Vic is the last of the dinosaurs. His style of play, they don't do that anymore. And he's still playing
yeah.
the style of play. I don't know what he's going to bring to Indiana that's new. The way I look at it, Indiana's going to remain mediocre. You know, I don't see them making it to the playoffs. They will win some games, but I don't see them being competitive in the East. And for him to just quit, maybe he started writing on the wall. I don't know. Maybe he had some ties to Donnie, and he just couldn't let go. But I thought that was pretty bad for him to just outright quit after – I know he had served out so long, and you know Mark Cuban really let him run everything. You know, so I don't like him about that. But I like Rick. I like Rick as a person. I think he's a great guy. I had been in conversation with him.
But
as a coach,
I've seen him be a jerk to so many people. I've seen him be nice. I ain't gonna lie, but I've seen him be a jerk to so many.
But at the same time,
you know how you used to act with certain situations, man. You know how he used to act, and I'd be like, "Well, you know, you're not even coaching out there."
Yeah, absolutely.
About you're not coaching out there, but like you said, I agree with you. And his style, I don't think if it doesn't work in Dallas, then it's definitely not going to work in Indiana or any other place.
Yeah, but too many press conferences I would hear him say, "This is on me. This loss is on me."
You know that
got to be the norm at the end of every game. I'm gonna put this off on me, and I would say exactly, "Yeah, it is on you." You know.
Yeah, it is. And, right.
It's time for a change. I'm excited.
Yeah, I was going to say, he didn't hesitate at all. He moved really fast, bringing in some of the older guys. First, he hired Dirk as a special assistant, which I thought Dirk already was for some reason.
Right.
But then,
right. Well,
of course,
we said he's coming back
with
some kind of capacity.
Yeah, I knew that. And then, of course, he brought in Jason Kidd, who was drafted here, won co-rookie of the year that year, came back, played with us 3 years, won a title. Here in Dallas, and now he's back as a head coach. And he talks about how it's kind of like a full circle moment for him. I wish I had the audio pulled up. I should have done that before. But he was talking about it's full circle for him. He's ready to go. He's ready to get going. And that's just kind of what it is, Royce. I guess my first question to you is, do you think that they consulted with Luca before this hire? And how do you think that conversation went?
I think they did. I think they ran the name by him. My understanding was Luca and Carla didn't get along very well. You could see.
I could tell that,
yeah, you could tell that in the game. And it just didn't work because Luca played one way and Carlisle wanted him to play another. It wasn't until this year he just really let Luca go. I think that's the kid to be a good hire. I mean, he's younger. I think he can relate to the players by having played.
Mm-hmm.
He just left the Lakers, so he knows a little bit about the Lakers organization and how they run, which gives Dallas a chance to beat the Lakers, you know. And I think he's going to bring in some good younger guys, and that's what they needed. You know, the league has changed.
And I forgot to mention that GM, Nico Harrison, too, you know,
absolutely.
Nike executive.
Nike.
Knew a lot of guys. I mean, I'm excited for the combination of the two. I think, like you said, I mean – you're right. It's a different NBA. Guys will respect Kidd more than Carlisle, even though Carlisle has been coaching longer, has the title, even played in the league. But no one remembers when he played. Like, no one remembers his team with Bird. I mean, these guys are young, like you said. They know Jason Kidd. They have affinity for him. Everybody wants to handle the ball. And I think he can really, really help Luka hopefully kind of settle down a little bit. I mean, Luka led the league in points, but at the same time, he's got to understand that he's got to trust his guys,
He
too.
Was tired. By the time he got to the fourth quarter, he was tired.
To your other point, they got to give him some guys to trust.
Right.
You know, so what do you think about the moves? You think there are more moves to – what about the roster moves that they're going to make? I mean, I know it's early. We're going to talk about this a lot throughout the summer, especially when free agency really kicks off. But I got to hope and pray that they're talking to Damian Lillard, that they're thinking of a plan. You know, something's cooking here in Dallas.
Well, you know, one prospect I'd like to see them go out to Kyle Lowry. That would take the ball out of Luka's hand.
I don't know about
and he's
that.
A,
I don't
he,
know
he's
about
a dog,
that.
Man. He's a dog.
I don't know about
you
that
need some
man.
Dogs on your team,
right?
You need some dogs. Well, let's Kyle Lowry.
Lowry gives,
is better
Lowry
than doing
gives
nothing.
Me those CP3 dirty player kind of vibes, if I could be honest.
The man.
You know, kind of like flop, try to draw the foul. That
right.
I don't like that kind of play.
He takes charge.
I don't like that kind of play.
He plays relentless. He's a veteran. That's what you need with Luka, a veteran kind of guy. That, so you got to bring in a veteran player, whoever you get, whether it's free agency or just picking somebody up, you know, that's available. But you got to have some veterans on the team, man. You got to.
Yeah.
And who on the team is a veteran right now? Nobody.
Yeah, well, yeah, they need. I said they do need to get some veteran presence on the team. In that case,
but who
I
they have
that,
now on the team
is
a veteran.
Well, nobody. Nobody's on the team is a veteran.
Absolutely.
You know, they just don't have it. You know, I agree with you 100%. I like. The Kyle Lowry thing, I was being a kind of, you know, going over the top a little bit, but I can understand you're bringing a guy like that in to get Luka
right.
off the ball a little bit more.
Right.
Somebody
he can bring the ball
and,
up.
Yeah, and Jalen Brunson could have been that guy, you know. If Carlisle would have kind of developed it a little bit more like that, Brunson
right.
could have been that guy, you know, that
Absolutely.
Type of player. But I like to see him do that, but I think they need to go try to get a third because Porzingis isn't going anywhere, try to get a third kind of
right.
superstar, if you will, kind of build that trifecta while they
right.
have the opportunity to do so. And I hope this Dame Lillard, though, I don't know how they're going to handle the ball together. You got two guys going to put up 30 points each. But if they
but
can make it
is,
work in Brooklyn, they can make
they
it work in
Dame
Dallas,
Dollar?
I think.
Can they get Dame Dollar? That's the question.
Do they have no draft picks.
Right.
They've got, you know, nobody is really kind of a tradable commodity. No one's going to take Porzingis and his contract.
No,
it'd
have to be Brunson, Richardson, Porzingis, something like that, a three-package deal to get somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, you know, Brunson is a tradable because he's young. He's a good player. I think if they do trade him, it's going to come back and bite him in the butt. Wherever he goes, because he's a great player. He's developed every year. He's been there. He just doesn't get to play a lot in Dallas. Once he goes somewhere where he starts, I think he'd be great. But rather than do anything, if you're not gonna do anything, go get Kyle Lowry. Get somebody. you know. What do you think about DeRozan?
I'm not really sold on him, only because. Now, he can create his own shot. I believe that. I don't know how he's going to – it's hard to say because I don't know what's going to fit with a guy like – I mean, you got a guy like Luka who is a MVP candidate. He's going to put up 35 a game.
Right.
You need good complement players. I don't know if you necessarily need a – I don't know if DeMar DeRozan is ready to be a complement player. I think he went to San Antonio thinking he could be a star again. I don't think he wants
I'll take Derrick Rose at this point. I'll take a Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could work out. So you want to see them get a point guard. You want to see them add a pure point
absolutely.
Guard to the team.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And even though I like Benny Smith, I think he made a lot of growth. He's a good defensive player. But I don't think he's a starter because you're not going to get much offense. He's the kind of
–
hang around the bucket cleanup guy. He hit a couple of threes. But, you know, you need somebody to compliment Luka. You need a guy to get you 16 to 18 points a game. You know,
well,
and that's not
Benny Smith. I know one thing for sure. You know, Mavs fans that have been listening to us for the last, you know, 10-plus years, I can guarantee you phone calls are going on as we speak. Jason Kidd, Nico Harrison, Mark Cuban, that combination, trust me,
they are on
the phone making calls trying to put deals together. They are going to come back ready to operate in the new season. I guarantee you that. They're making calls.
Well, Jason Kidd did say he had a message for Mavericks fans. He said, practice your vocals over the summer because he wanted to be loud because they're going to be winning some games. So that's a big statement to make.
Yeah.
You know, I just hope he can back it up. But I'm excited about it. Like I said, it was time. Carlisle inherited the team from Avery Johnson. That was really Avery Johnson's team.
That was really Avery's team.
And they went on They went on to win the championship with Avery's team. They had already been to the finals and lost to Miami. But they came back and won the championship. But that was Avery's team. So, really, I really can't credit him with that. You know. But
And Dirk was just great.
That
Dirk
was the only thing that time
player.
They did anything. Right.
Dirk was on top of it. He was the best player in the league that year.
Right.
You know, I
and
kept
he,
saying
he
all year long.
After that loss to Miami, Dirk was a different player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, we got a knock on the door before you kick it in. After that loss, Dirk was humiliated. He came back the next year even better, and he led his team to a championship.
Mm-hmm. He had an MVP year the year before,
absolutely.
And he came back and won that title. So, yeah,
absolutely.
He was the best player in the league that year. I saw it the whole year.
Absolutely.
That was a special year for us. Special year.
And he had been groomed by Avery Johnson, not Carlisle. So I'm not going to even get that call out.
That's a good point.
Okay.
But I'm excited for that, man. I'm ready to see this close out. We got a lot going on this summer with the Olympics coming up, man. And before we close things out,
Olympics.
You said what now?
I think if it be Olympics, the way it's going,
yeah,
it might not be
question,
anybody
yeah.
that to play. Yeah, I mean, they might have to call that, you know.
Yeah, that's the question. I don't know if they're going to have enough players to come.
Right.
I don't know.
You know, and a lot of them may back out, man, because they say they got the highest COVID over there, you know, and no fans. And, you know, just like playing in a bubble, I guess. But you're playing overseas, man. And so.
Yeah, but if they're able to pull it off, it'll probably be the most watched Olympics of all time if they can pull it off.
Right, because won't nobody be in the stands. You have to watch it.
Right.
The way it's going, the United States may not win basketball, and I don't know.
Well,
they're going to win. Don't worry about that. That'll be news of the century.
I guarantee you, they're going to do it. There's no doubt about it. They're definitely going to do it. Before we close out, I do want to just say, man, thanks for joining me today, Royce. It's good to be back on the air with you again, and hopefully we'll keep this up and get our fans back listening, man.
Well, we have to do a show tomorrow night or day after tomorrow after the game night.
Of course. We'll be back on Wednesday.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll be back on Wednesday. But before we close out, I don't know if you saw the news, but this may be older. You may already know, but you know what team is going to be on Hard Knocks this year?
Let me guess. Let me see. It's not Seattle. It's not Minnesota. Is it Dallas? Oh, I knew that.
It is the Dallas Cowboys, so we'll have even more to talk about.
I know you're excited about that. That's a bad omen. Anytime y'all on the Hard Knocks, you lose. That's a bad omen.
Yeah, man,
what team has been on a Hard Knocks and went on to win a championship? I can't think of one either.
But we know it'll be the most watched. It'll be good ratings. If nothing else.
One thing about Dallas, they're going to always be in the news, but I don't know if that's a good home.
Yeah.
But I got to give it to Jerry. He pulled it off.
Yeah, he did.
Okay,
yeah,
one more question before we go. What do you think about Dirk and Luka being on there? The cover of the games.
Oh, NBA 22?
Yeah.
Man, I think it's I think it's great. I know Dirk's been on there once before, but Luka getting on there is a big deal. I'm a little bit concerned because of the curse. I mean, it's inevitable. It's like the Manning curse, it's the NBA 2K curse as well. I think that's something I'm concerned about. But it's big. That's what I'm saying. It's like for Carlisle to quit a situation like this. You know,
absolutely.
But again,
you got the best player in the world.
it was time for him to go at the same time. So that's kind of my frame I'm keeping. But, man, you know, we let you slide on a lot around here for years.
But I would have been excited about coaching a guy like Luka. I mean, you know, come on, you got a once-in-a-lifetime general like Evan Dirk.
You messed it up.
Yeah.
You messed it up. He had a good situation. It's not many coaches out there aside from a Greg Popovich, a Phil Jackson that can say they've had generational MVPs, caliber players in different generations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, absolutely. Phil had Michael, Phil had Kobe,
Shaq.
Yeah. I mean, Popovich had the Admiral, then he had Tim Duncan. So he had he had Kawhi Leonard. He had a lot of guys.
Right.
Globally. You know what I mean? There's very few coaches that can say they've got.
Yeah, Muhammad, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James. Right.
Yeah. There's very few coaches that can say that. I mean, even Spoelstra, though, he's like the longest tenured coach of one franchise now. They call out left. So, well, I take that back. Popovich is still coaching.
Greg Popovich.
But he's one of the older guys. But he had Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Chris Bosh, and then came back with Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. So he's had two as well. But Carlisle messed a good thing up. Did he go back to Indiana?
Yeah.
Indiana don't have Luke on their team?
No, they don't. They don't. I don't think him. Like I said, that really was a step back. I don't know if that's a retirement paycheck for Carlisle, because I'm pretty sure as long as he's been coaching, he's been paid very well. So
as they say, he fumbled the bag, Royce, as they like to say.
Right.
That's what the youngsters say when you mess up like that. You fumble the bag.
That's what he did.
Okay. All right, we want to thank everybody for tuning in. Make sure you check us out each and every week, Mondays and Wednesdays, 10 p.m. Call in 319-527-6059. Tell everybody that we're back on the air. We're coming back. And go to the website, of course, rfsportsradio.com to check us out. Any last words before we go?
The Cowboys on Hard Knocks. I got to watch that every week until football season starts, my goodness. Okay. I'm going to be
prepared. All right, you got
tickets. Okay.
All right, we'll talk to you guys.
I know you're going to enjoy it. All right, goodbye. Good night.